Tadhyaya ధ్యాయే దృఢయన్ గమం అచింత్య నిజమాయ కరిష్యతమశ్లోక తద్యాయే దృఢయన్ గమం.
Svecha,
by supreme will,
avatara,
incarnation,
charitaya,
activities,
achintya,
inconceivable,
nijamaya, by his own potency,
karishyati,
performs,
uttama sloka,
supreme personality of Godhead,
that,
jayat, one should meditate,
Hridayangamam.
Very attractive. Translation by dear Dhruva: besides worshipping the deity and chanting the mantra three times a day, you should meditate upon the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and its different incarnations, as exhibited by Supreme Will and personal potency. Purport: devotional service comprises 9 prescribed practices: hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, serving, offering everything to the deity, etc. Here Dhruva Maharaj is advised not only to meditate on the form of the Lord, but to think of his transcendental pastimes in his different incarnations. Mayavadi philosophers take the incarnation of the Lord to be in the same category as the ordinary living entity. This is a great mistake. The incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not forced to act by the material laws of nature. The word svecha used here to indicate that he appears out of his own supreme will. The conditioned soul is forced to accept the particular type of body referred to as karma, even by the laws of material nature, under the direction of the Supreme Lord. But when the Lord appears, he is not forced by the dictation of material nature. He appears as he likes by his own internal potency. That is the difference. The conditioned soul accepts a particular type of body, such as the body of a hog, by his work and by the superior authority of material nature. But when Lord Krishna appears in the incarnation of a boar, he is not the same kind of hog as an ordinary animal. Krishna appears as Varaha avatar, in an expansive feature which cannot be compared with ordinary hogs. His appearance and disappearance are conceivable to us. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said that he appears by his own internal potency for the protection of the devotees and annihilation of the non-devotees. A devotee should always consider that Krishna does not appear as an ordinary human being or ordinary beast. His appearance as Varaha Murti, or a horse or a tortoise, is an exhibition of his internal potency. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Ananda Chidmaya Rasa Pratik Bhavitabhi. One should not mistake the appearance of the Lord as a human being or a beast to be the same as the birth of an ordinary conditioned soul who is forced to appear by the laws of nature, whether as an animal, as a human being, or as a demigod. This kind of thinking is offensive. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has condemned the Mayavadis as offensive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of their thinking that the Lord and the conditioned living entities are one and the same. Narada advises Dhruva to meditate on the pastimes of the Lord, which is as good as the meditation of concentrating one's mind in the form of the Lord. As meditation on any form of the Lord is available, so is chanting of different names of the Lord, such as Hari Govinda and Narayana. But in this age, we are especially advised to chant the Hare Krishna mantra as enunciated in the Shastra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation by dear Dhruva: besides worshipping the deity and chanting the mantra three times a day, we should meditate upon the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and its different incarnations, as exhibited by his supreme will and personal potencies. So here Narada is advising that Dhruva should meditate on the different pastimes of the different incarnations, which are described here as arising from his inconceivable energy or potency. The Lord appears by his own will through his own energy, which means that he is not under the control of anything in the material world, including karma. So he's completely separate from that. So all of his forms and his pastimes are therefore non-material. Previously, the Lord recommended that Dhruva meditate upon the form of Vishnu, and that was described. So we have to understand that form is non-material, even though we are using our mind. So just as the deity also is spiritual, but we worship the deity using our body, so also we meditate using the mind on the Supreme Lord and meditate on that form, and also is not material. Of course, it can become material, just as the deity form also can become material depending on our consciousness. So we can see the deity is a material object also. But if we have proper consciousness, then that form of the deity and our service to it is spiritual. Similarly, we use the mind, which is material, and we can concentrate on the form of the Lord with devotion, and then we have spiritual object of meditation. So though we utilize the mind and the body for service to the Lord, actually we get spiritual results, because the object of meditation, the object of service, is spiritual, that is the Supreme Lord. And so this is actually the mercy of the Lord, that he's able to access the people in the material world, the jivas, through their senses and their mind. And therefore the definition of bhakti is kriti sadhya, that it is performed by the material senses. That is sadhana bhakti's definition. So though it is performed by the material senses, we get a spiritual result. So Dhruva started out this process of worshipping the Lord, and he got spiritual result. The result was the Lord appeared before him in his spiritual body. So, therefore, the process cannot be material. So therefore, that process of bhakti is considered purely spiritual. Though we utilize the mind and the senses, and we use material objects, etc. Nevertheless, the effect is spiritual, therefore the whole process is spiritual. And the body and mind in the process also become spiritualized. The same cannot be said of karma or jnana. Karma is, of course, not aspiring for anything spiritual. It is actually material, and the effects are only material. One ends up with material results. However, jnana is said to give liberation, which is non-material. Nevertheless, if we look closely in the Bhagavata of the 11th canto, there Krishna explains that jnana also is sattva. And even realization of Atman is only in sattva. Therefore the process of jnana also is material. And it must be given up to get liberation. So, and the same can be said of yoga, because yoga again is using the body, etc. Jnana and yoga are not actually spiritual processes. They have to be given up to get liberation. The same cannot be said of bhakti. One performs bhakti now to get realization of the Lord, and we give up a material body, go to the spiritual world. And we continue the process of bhakti. We do not give up the process of bhakti at all. So therefore it is a superior process. Gata processes are material that are given up at a certain point, whereas bhakti is never given up. It is eternal. So though now we do these services with material body or spiritualized material body, in the spiritual world the only difference is we do everything with a spiritual body, with full realization of the Lord. So it's only a difference in our realization. So therefore the process of bhakti is spiritual. And we see here that Dhruva was carried out the process using a material body, and he actually made an image out of clay in the forest and began worshipping the image of Vishnu. And he got highest spiritual results. The Lord himself appeared, and of course eventually also went to the spiritual world. So this shows the superior nature of devotion over the other processes. Bhakti is superior to karma, jnana, and yoga. So here the Narada Muni is saying, not only meditate upon the form of the Lord, but also on the activities of the various forms of the Lord, which are also spiritual. So this is actually a higher realization. So we can realize the form of the Lord. Higher than the realization of the form is realization of the qualities. And higher realization of the Lord is realization of the pastimes of the Lord or activities of the Lord. So all of these are successive realizations of the devotee when he practices bhakti. So we realize the form, then the qualities, and then the activities of the Lord, one after the other. In our particular process, that is Sankirtan, we chant the name of the Lord. So our first realization of the Lord is the name, and using that as a sadhana, through the name, we also realize the form, qualities, and activities of the Lord. Rupa, Guna, and Leela. So these are the successive realizations that take place. To help out that realization, one is advised to, before the actual appearance of the Lord, one can also meditate on the form of the Lord and the qualities and activities of the Lord. So that is what is advised here as part of sadhana. One hears about the form of the Lord and qualities and activities of the Lord. Then one meditates on the form of the Lord and the activities of the Lord as a sadhana. So this helps the realization at a later stage. Therefore, realization of the Lord is not simply realization of the Lord, but realization of the Lord in full. His qualities, activities, one's service to the Lord, etc. Everything is included in realization of the Lord. So realization is not a static process. If the yogi realizes Paramatma, yes, that is a static realization. He realizes the form of the Lord and a few qualities. He does not realize much of the activity of the Lord. He has no service to the Lord. So that's the difference between realization of Paramatma and realization of Bhagavan. So here we find that Dhruva will engage in service to the Lord. That is his method. Worshipping the Lord means service to the Lord. So as a result of that service, which is devotional service,